Welcome to our worship for this Sunday, the 11th of July. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are very welcome sharing in our worship. I'm here in Kingairloch Church at the moment, and we welcome you from Ardnamurchan, Aharachal, Strontian, Ardgour, Morvern, wherever you are, or maybe you are viewing, sharing with us from beyond these linked parishes here. Let's be still for a moment as we gather our thoughts, as we prepare to worship our God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator, Maker of all things, of all that is, of all that has been, and of all that will be, this is the world which you have made. You made the dry land, the hills, the valleys, the plains, and all that lives upon them. You made the seas and all that they contain. On this Sea Sunday, we think of the sea in all its moods and think of the life that it contains. We consider the mighty waves and we remember your power. We consider the calm ripples and remember your gentleness. We think of the countless creatures who make their homes in or on or beneath the waves, and we wonder at your generosity. We think of rock pools filled with life, and we marvel at your attention to detail. We think of the ocean depths, and we realize that there is no end to your knowledge and understanding. Yet even the sea, in all its variety and richness, only gives us a glimpse of how marvelous you are in every possible way. You are the creator of all, and craft every element of the universe with your tender love. You create and share with your creation beauty, goodness, and joy, and make us able to recognize and enjoy these gifts. Yet, we acknowledge that we do not always take time to look and listen to the beauty that surrounds us. Sometimes we rush by, wrapped up in our own activities. Lord, have mercy. You call us to care for your creation, a place full of beauty, but it's been damaged by our greed and by our selfishness. We are not always careful about how we treat our planet. Poisons are allowed to seep into sea and land. Plastic and rubbish endanger the plants and creatures that live in sea and land. Christ, have mercy. Your provision for us is beyond measure. Your love for us is boundless. You call us to worship you with joy, sure in the knowledge that whatever happens, whatever storms we face in life, we can depend on you, our anchor. Yet we do not always take time to rejoice in your presence. Our worship sometimes becomes just another chore to be done. Lord, have mercy. Lord, in your tender mercy, forgive us all our many failings, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us ever more aware of your love and care surrounding us. Help us to value our wonderful world and to play our part in caring for it, so that those who come after us may also have their lives enriched by all that it can offer. Amen.
From 2 Samuel chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 22. Once more, David called together the best soldiers in Israel, a total of 30,000 men, and led them to Bala in Judah in order to bring from there God's covenant box bearing the name of the Lord Almighty, whose throne is above the winged creatures. They took it from Abinadab's home on the hill and placed it on a new cart. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the cart, with Ahio walking in front. David and all the Israelites were dancing and singing with all their might to honour the Lord. They were playing harps, lyres, drums, rattles and cymbals. As they came to the threshing place at Nacon, the oxen stumbled and Uzzah reached out and took hold of the covenant box. At once the Lord God became angry with Uzzah and killed him because of his irreverence. Uzzah died there beside the covenant box, and so that place has been called Perez Uzzah ever since. David was furious because the Lord had punished Uzzah in anger. Then David was afraid of the Lord and said, "How can I take the covenant box with me now? So he decided not to take it with him to Jerusalem. Instead, he turned off the road and took it to the house of Obed-Edom, a native of the city of Gath. It stayed there 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his family. King David heard that because of the covenant box, the Lord had blessed Obed-Edom's family and all that he had. So he got the covenant box from Obed's house to take it to Jerusalem with a great celebration. After the men carrying the covenant box had gone 6 steps, David had them stop while he offered the Lord a sacrifice of a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing only a linen cloth around his waist, danced with all his might to honour the Lord. And so he and all the Israelites took the covenant box up to Jerusalem with shouts of joy and the sound of trumpets. As the box was being brought into the city, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked out of the window and saw King David dancing and jumping around in the sacred dance, and she was disgusted with him. They brought the box and put it in its place in the tent that David had set up for it. Then he offered sacrifices and fellowship offerings to the Lord. When he had finished offering the sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty and distributed food to them all. He gave each man and woman in Israel a loaf of bread, a piece of roasted meat, and some raisins. Then everyone went home. Afterward, when David went home to greet his family, Michal came out to meet him. "The king of Israel made a big name for himself today," she said. "He exposed himself like a fool in the sight of the servant women of his officials." David answered, "I was dancing to honour the Lord, who chose me instead of your father and his family to make me the leader of his people Israel. And I will go on dancing to honour the Lord and will disgrace myself even more. You may think I am nothing, but those women will think highly of me." Amen. From Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading verses 3 to 14. "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his children. That was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the blood of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed, and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. Amen."
In 1835, John Ashley, an Anglican priest, was out walking with his young son. They were walking along the coast of the Bristol Channel when the young son asked, "Father, how do the people on all the boats go to church on a Sunday?" It was a question that got his father thinking, and it led a few years later to the creation of the Bristol Channel Mission. After funds had been raised, an opportunity to allow seamen to go to church. And in 1839, a boat, the Irene, was commissioned, and its main cabin converted into a chapel seating 100 people. That photograph that you see just now is of that ship, the Irene, and it's dated 1843. And as an interesting wee aside, that's the date of the disruption, the big split in the Church of Scotland. And here in Strontian, that split would give rise to the story of the floating church. There are always opportunities to worship God at sea. And indeed, next Sunday, and for the Sundays until the end of August, Church Afloat is an initiative of the Fort William churches. Primarily the Fort William Christian Fellowship have arranged a series of Sunday evening services on board Souter's Lass. There'll be some information about that if any of you are interested in getting along to that. Anyway, back to the Bristol Channel Mission, which would inspire others to reach out to those who were working at sea, bringing in the harvest of the sea and bringing it to our homes. The mission to seamen afloat was born, and under a series of different names, eventually as the Mission to Seafarers, now with some 250 centres around the world. And there are many other organisations working to support and to help and to bring Christ's love to those who work on our seas. The Royal National Mission to Deep Sea Fishermen, the Fishermen's Mission locally here at Mallaig, all part of that inspiration that began when a young boy said, "Father, how do the people in the boats at sea get to church?" Well, there's a very similar question which I think we should be asking now. Times are very different. In 1835, it would have been the norm to be in church on a Sunday. Nowadays, how can we help people to get to church? And maybe even more importantly, how can we help others to encounter God? Over the last year, with the COVID restrictions and not being able to be in our church buildings so much, has helped us to focus on the reality that it's not so much about being in a particular place, as much as knowing that we encounter the living, loving God. Mission to Seafarers was, of its time, a pioneering ministry. And there are many such pioneering thoughts today as the church seeks to reach out to all people. There's pioneering ministers working with the farming community, with offshore workers. And there are, of course, hospital chaplaincies, prison chaplaincies, and more recently, retail chaplaincies. How do we help that part of society to be in church, to encounter the living God? To our Old Testament story. David was doing a new thing. David was establishing Jerusalem as the new base for the kingdom, and he had some work to do in terms of unifying the people. And he decides to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the covenant box that the Good News Bible refers to. The box that contained the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, a box that represented the very presence of God. Now, the box had been in Abinadab's home for almost a century. It hadn't been given pride of place in any public place. And now David is saying, let's bring that to Jerusalem. And, well, as we hear the story, things didn't go exactly according to plan. And Abinadab's son Uzzah had reached out and inadvertently touched what was considered to be so holy. And God considered this an irreverent act, and Uzzah was killed. David was having second thoughts about this plan. And so the ark, the sacred box, was taken to the home of Obed-Edom. And when David heard that Obed-Edom and his family had been blessed because of the Lord's presence symbolized in this covenant box, he decided that the time was right to take the box to Jerusalem. But he would ensure that God was not going to be angry with any of the plans this time, and sacrifices were offered, and the covenant box handled very carefully. Here was something that symbolized God's presence. Here was something that would have reminded all of God's people of the journey of old, escaping from slavery out of Egypt into a new and promised land. Here David, well, he may have had some ulterior motives, but David was bringing something of the very best of the past, part of the story of God's people, and bringing it into a new and hopefully better future, bringing the ark, the covenant box, symbolizing God's presence, putting God at the center of the new thing that was happening as Jerusalem, recently captured from the Jebusites, would become the new base and the capital city, David's city. David put God at the center. You know, as we ask that question today, how can we help other people to encounter the living God? How can we encounter the living, loving God? It begins with putting God at the center, understanding something of what God's great plan and purpose for all creation is. And we hear it in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, one of the other lectionary readings for today, and within it, one of my favourite verses in Scripture, Ephesians 1 verse 10, God's plan and purpose is to bring all creation to himself with Christ as head. God's purpose for all creation, for seafarers, for those who work the land, for rich, for poor, for male, for female, for all creation. And we forget that at our peril. The church is at a crossroads, and COVID-19 has accelerated the journey to that point. How do we move forward? How do we take the very best of our past experience and bring it into a place where others can see that God is at the centre and that God's plan and purpose still stands for all time to bring all creation to God's self? In our Tuesday afternoon Bible study and conversations, we've been talking about some of what it means as the church moves forward, seeking to understand God's plan and God's purposes. The last of those conversations will take place on Tuesday, 2 o'clock on Zoom, and you're all invited. Each of the conversations stands on its own, and together we want to ponder, to discern what God is saying to us as we want to help others to encounter the living God. Michal, David's wife, Saul's daughter, was appalled. She was disgusted by David's behaviour. Dancing and leaping and singing, she didn't think it was appropriate. And yet David says, I was honouring God. And you know, maybe sometimes we need to leap and dance and sing and take risks when we are following what God is doing. What do we cling to from the past? What do we need to take forward from the past? And what new things do we need to do that help us and others to encounter the living God who has blessed us richly indeed? Amen. May God bless us all.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can meet together in so many different ways. We thank you for the gifts of technology. We thank you for all who bring joy to our worship. Artists, musicians, photographers, writers, actors. We pray for the church in its many forms and places, that it may truly be a light, radiating love and joy. Today, Sea Sunday, we especially remember the various ministries to seafarers. And we pray for those whose lives are affected by the sea, for people whose work takes them to sea, for those in the different branches of the Navy, for those who transport goods and passengers by ship, for those who catch fish for their living. We pray for those who give help when people get into difficulties at sea, for the lifeboat service, for air sea rescue, for coast guards and for lifeguards. We pray for our world and for all who look after our planet. And we pray for places ravaged by violence. Violence of man, violence of nature, violence of disease. In stillness, we offer to our Lord those situations in the world that have touched our hearts in the last week. We pray for all in positions of leadership, that they will heed your voice and make wise decisions for the good of all. We pray for our own families and communities, for any in need, the sick, the lonely, the anxious, the bereaved, those with financial pressures. In stillness, we offer to our Lord those we hold in our hearts. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And with our prayers we bring our offerings. God, the giver of all good things, worship is giving back to you and giving to one another. Bless each one of us. Receive our gifts. And help us to accept with grateful hearts all that we are given. And we bring all our praying together as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thy tribute bring. Right.
has ended. May you know God's peace, God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you and with all those you love, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.